your spirit. It means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, we just say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything, everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, if we think about Noah's Ark, you know, there's a lot of really, really cool facts about Noah's Ark. Would y'all agree with that? I mean, the whole story, it's an amazing true story from God's Word, but there's a lot of details and facts that are really intriguing and very interesting. And we looked at some of those in an earlier message, but for instance, it was made of gopher wood. Now, some would say that that's cypress. In that ark was various rooms. God told Noah to pitch it or to put tar on the inside and on the outside. Now, it was 300 cubits long. And if you take a cubit as 18 inches, that's 450 feet. Now, if you think about that, put that in perspective a little bit. You see, well, you can't see it, but look all the way back to the back wall. And then you can turn around and look all the way back to the back wall in the back. It was more than three times the length of this church. And if you get the opportunity to go to the Ark Encounter, I'd highly encourage you to do that. It was 75 foot wide, which you add another 10 or 15 feet to the sides of this church. It was wider than this church. So over three times longer, wider than this church. And the Bible says it was 45 foot high. And I estimate that this peak here is probably about 35 foot. So it's about another 10 foot. And there was three stories to the ark. It says there was a window, a cubit from the top, about 18 inches from the top. There was a door in the side. As I said, there was three stories, and God told them to take two of every creature, male and female, of the unclean animals, and seven of the clean animals and fowls of the air. And then God basically said, take a bunch of food for you and the animals. Now, those details and facts are great. They're interesting. But you know what? There's more to the story than just details and facts. We're looking at the story of Noah's Ark, and as we've been doing the last two or three messages so far, this will be number three, we've been looking at the similarities between Noah's Ark and the story of Noah's Ark and salvation. You know, I'm not going to turn there today, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 22, it relates salvation to the story of Noah and the Ark. And as I looked at other commentaries as well, they felt very obliged and very able to say, you know what, there are some similarities there. The Bible says there's similarities there, and let's look at some of those similarities, they said in their commentaries. And that's what we're going to do today. If you turn to Genesis chapter 7, we're going to read the same verses we read last week, but we'll read them again about this story, and we're going to relate some of the similarities between Noah's Ark and salvation. In chapter 7 of Genesis, it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made, now notice this, every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons, that is, with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now, in the way of review, the similarities to salvation in this Noah's Ark story. Now, we've already talked about these, so I'm going to hit them pretty quick and move on. But the first point we looked at, the offer of deliverance was limited in time. You know, when Noah, the Bible says in chapter 6 and verse 3, Noah built with his three sons for 120 years. And as he did that, he preached righteousness. He's called a preacher of righteousness. I believe that's 1 Peter chapter 2. He is called that preacher of righteousness. And as he preached that, there was a certain amount of time that they could respond and trust God and enter into the ark with them whenever the flood came. You know, the same is true with salvation, as we talked about. The offer of salvation is limited. Now, I'm not talking about a limited atonement, because I know that the atonement, the price that Jesus paid, was an unlimited atonement. It covers the sins of the whole world, but you and I have to go to the Lord and ask for salvation, tell God that we believe that Jesus was his son that died upon the cross, and commit our lives to him. And when we do that, that atonement is applied to our account. That covering is applied to our account. But you know, that offer of salvation is limited in the time that we live. Have you thought about that? You know, the Bible says that we're blessed if we have 70 years, and if we live to be 80, there's going to be a few aches and pains along the way, along that way. How many would say amen to that? Amen. The Bible also says that our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a moment and then vanishes away. And as we talked about today in Sunday school, even at greater length, the rapture of the church could happen at any moment. So the offer of salvation is a limited time offer. Just like the offer of getting into the ark and trusting God was for a limited time. You know, I feel compelled to mention this point. A lot of people really get confused about this. How were Old Testament people saved? Can I tell you? They were saved by believing and trusting God. Now, he hadn't revealed the whole story. They didn't get the whole story. But guess what? Whatever God revealed to them to that point, if they believed God, trusted God to that point, they were saved, if you will. They were God's child, if you will. Today, we know the whole story. We know that Jesus came, and he died upon the cross to pay for our sins, and he resurrected back to life as the Son of God. So Old Testament folks were saved by faith. New Testament folks were saved by faith. Don't ever think they were saved by works. They had the Old Testament law, and when they fulfilled the law and did what they were supposed to do, they couldn't fulfill it perfectly, but when they did the sacrifices and different things like that, They were showing that they had faith in God. That was not their faith in God. Old Testament folks and New Testament folks, both were saved by faith in God. Amen? All right. But it's a limited time offer of salvation. I hope that if you're here today and you say, you know, I'm really not sure I'm saved, or you may say, I know I'm not. I hope that you just don't keep putting it off and off and off, because it's a limited time offer. The story of Noah's Ark, similarities to salvation number two that we looked at in a previous message. Both entering into the ark and entering into salvation involves coming to the Lord. Involves coming to the Lord. Now, he draws us, absolutely. But in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. I found this so interesting that it wasn't, as the translators here translated it, come. It wasn't, well, you go and do this, that, or the other. It's come. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In the Revelation, the last invitation in Scriptures says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. So it's a matter of coming to Jesus, not going and doing something, but coming to Jesus. It's only through Jesus that we are saved. Now it's interesting to me that in this world, you can talk about a generic God and nobody gets too upset. I mean, you can talk about, well, God bless America. You can say, well, you know, I, as a follower of God, and not too many people will be upset. But you mention Jesus, and it riles some people up. But salvation involves coming to the Lord Jesus. Number three, similarity of the Noah's Ark story and salvation. Both entering into the ark and entering into salvation involve a choice. Involve a choice. Do you realize that God could make us come to salvation? Now, some folks in a, extreme Calvinists believe that God comes upon you and basically makes you become a Christian. That is just not true. I'm not a Calvinist. I never will be a Calvinist. I do not believe the tenets of Calvinism. I believe that the Bible says, whosoever will. But it was a choice, even for Noah to obey God. It was a choice for the three sons to obey God and get on the ark. It was a choice for their wives to get on the ark. Salvation is a choice for us today. A choice. A choice. I almost wish that I could make you be saved. I mean, I'd, you know, it was funny. I was reading his commentary. It has not a whole lot to do, but he said, I'm going to offend some people, but I think in order to kill a big animal, you carry a big gun. You know, well, you'd have to read the article. But the point is, if I could make you be saved, I'd carry a big gun and say, guess what? You're going to trust Jesus, Bubba. But it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a whosoever will. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I don't know if you pondered about that, reflected on that a bit, but that's a huge blessing. That whosoever, that choice thing. Because what if God had set the standard here and said, you know, you got to have this much income or else you can't get saved. Or God, what if God said, you know, your IQ has to, I'd be in a heap of trouble. What if your IQ has to be up here somewhere in order to be saved? You're like, just can't. You know, your house has to be this many square feet or else you can't be saved. What if that was the case? We'd be in trouble. But the Bible says whosoever. But it involves a choice. It involves a choice. Today we're looking at another point or two about the similarities between Noah's Ark and the story of Noah's Ark, which is a true account, and salvation. Today, this is new material, both deliverance from the flood and deliverance from sin and hell are because of grace. Because of grace. both deliverance from the flood and deliverance from sin and hell are because of grace. In chapter 6 of Genesis and verse 8, very well-known verse in Scripture, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." The Lord's just describing how bad the earth is, how wicked the people are, and he says, "But Noah found grace." You know, if it hadn't been for God's grace, we wouldn't be here. Because if the grace hadn't been shown to Noah, mankind would have been wiped out. But God's unmerited favor was shown to Noah. And that's how he escaped the wrath of God upon the earth, the destruction that was upon the earth. Do you realize that we're delivered from sin and hell as Christians, as folks who have trusted Jesus, because of God's grace? You know, we use this verse, these two verses, a lot, and we normally use it in the fashion to say, you know what, you cannot work your way to heaven, which is an absolutely true statement. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot do enough. And if your good works outweigh your bad works, you'll go to heaven. That's not the way God says it is. But in this verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, notice the first three words. It says, "For by grace." Aren't you thankful for God's grace? "Are you saved through faith? And that not of yourselves." That even reinforces what grace is. It's not of myself. It's not because of my merit. It's not because I'm good looking. It's not because I'm smart. It's none of those things. Grace is unmerited favor. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." The Bible says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, those that got on the ark and were saved, Noah, his three sons, and all their wives, they got on the ark and they were saved because of God's grace. And I'm thankful that when I look in the mirror, I see a boy from southern West Virginia who at the age of 11 was shown God's grace. And he got it. It finally clicked. You say, "Preacher, I hear a lot of people getting saved when they're 4 and 5 and 6. Well, I was a little slow. My last name is Delay. You got to remember that. But at 11 years of age, because of God's grace and his unmerited favor, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. It's all because of God's unmerited favor, his grace. Now, I'm thankful that Noah and his family found grace from God, but I'm also glad that I found grace from God. Who knows where I'd be? And I say that honestly and sincerely. It really doesn't matter how morally you're brought up. If you don't know Jesus, you're still lost. And it's only because of God's grace that I'm still serving the Lord today. You know, grace is one of those things that really God's grace is shown to everybody. Do you know that? I mean, unmerited favor. I was thinking about this. You know, the air that you breathe, that's a demonstration of God's grace, right? The health that you have, the mountains and the trees that we have to enjoy, the families that we've been given, that's all because of God's grace. It's unmerited. God has just blessed us. And I'm thankful for that. God's greatest display of grace to us was Jesus coming. You know, we didn't deserve that, did we? I'm telling you, it's a good thing. It's a couple things. It's a really good thing that I'm not God the Father, because there'd be a whole lot of ashes spread around. You know when people make you mad? Now, I'm just being honest. I'm being frank with you. Hopefully, I would rethink that once if I was in that position. But like, okay, you bunch of heathen out there don't know Jesus, and you're making fun of Christianity and God and everything. Zap. There's a pile of ashes. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes we feel that way, right? Now, we're to love them. Some of you give me this look like, preacher, where are you going with this? We're to love them, but I'm saying I'm human. But God shows us grace. Right? And I'm sure from God's perspective, he looks down on us too. And these kind of interlinked are a little bit different idea, but God shows us his grace and mercy every day, or we'd all be a pile of ashes, right? Because we failed him. We have failed him. I, for one, am thankful for the grace of God. Noah was shown grace. We are shown grace as well in salvation. And I'm thankful for that. Another similarity that we're going to look at today, we just looked at both deliverance from the flood and deliverance from sin and hell are because of grace. Point number five overall, the second point today, we'll probably stop here. Noah was declared righteous, and a Christian is declared righteous. You say, where's that at? Well, in chapter 7, verse 1, that same verse we just looked at, it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Do you know that Noah was declared righteous by God? God says, you're righteous. He was a God follower. He's one that trusted God. He's one that had faith in God. And God gave him righteousness. He lived a righteous life. Now, God is the one that bestows righteousness, right? It's up to us to do our best to live righteously. Remember in our vacation Bible school, what word sticks out when we look at the word righteous? Right, right? Right with God. And that was because of God. He declared Noah righteous. And you know what? Noah, I mentioned it just a little bit ago. I have the reference right here, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. Because he was righteous, he could be a preacher of righteousness and tell others, you need to get right with the Lord. Do you know, in our day as Christians, in this age of grace, do you know what the word justified means? It means declared righteous. Do you know that when we trust Jesus, we are justified or declared righteous? And guess what? It's not because we're good. It's because God has declared us righteous because of his righteousness. It's like imputed or transferred righteousness, if you will, shared with us because of God and all of his goodness. Noah was declared righteous. We are as well. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. This is good. It says, therefore being justified. Now that, remember, that means declared righteous by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? If you're a saved individual, you trusted Jesus, you have been declared righteous. As I looked around the room, even Tim, when he trusted Jesus as his Savior, what rascal that he is. I understand that you doused my boys with water during the water fights. Is that a true statement, Tim? he said he would have got me all wet if I'd have been out there, huh? But if you're a child of God, you have been declared righteous. I'm thankful for that. Therefore, being justified, declared righteous by faith. Noah was declared righteous, and a Christian is declared righteous. Have you ever looked at something and the color of it was so bright or overpowering that you said something like, boy, now that's blue. Have you ever done that? You've looked at something, maybe it's something bright yellow. I mean, boy, you say, well, now that's yellow. I had, and Amy can attest to this, my first car was a 1977 Plymouth Volare. Y'all remember those Volare? Remember that? I'm not sure. Was that Ricardo Montalban singing that? I'm not sure. But anyway, I have a 1977 Plymouth Volare, and it was what color, Amy? Sky blue with a white Landau top. Let me tell you, if it wasn't for my car, Amy would have not given me a second look. I don't know if that's true or not. But it's one of those cars that when you look at it, you'd probably say, now that's blue. You know, if anyone ever looks at me and says, now that's righteous, it's because of God's righteousness covering me. Just like paint covered the 77 Plymouth Volare. When I become a child of God, God's righteousness covered me. You know, today as we've looked at these two areas in particular, similarities. Now, I'll say once again, the details and the facts are amazing. I mean, they're fun to study. They're good to look at. But there's more to the story. There's more to the story. As you picture, I hope as a Christian, when you picture Noah's Ark, it's a little bit fuller as a result of listening to these messages from God about the similarities to salvation. Today we looked at two points. Both deliverance from the flood and deliverance from sin and hell are because of grace. Because of grace. Christian, I hope if you're here today, I hope you're thankful for God's grace or unmerited favor. You did not deserve salvation. I did not deserve salvation. I sure do not deserve heaven. You do not deserve heaven. But I'm thankful because of God's grace shown to me. I am saved. I am sealed. I am on my way to heaven. So I hope if you're here today and you're a Christian, you can just be thankful. You can just go around and have a relaxing afternoon maybe. I'll be packing for camp. I'm not sure how relaxing that's going to be. But hopefully you can have a relaxing evening and you can just sit there and think, you know what? I am just so thankful for God's amazing grace, His grace to me. He showed grace to Noah. He's shown grace to us. The second point we looked at today in this message, Noah was declared righteous, and a Christian is declared righteous or justified before God. You know, when we get to heaven, we're not going to look around and say, hey, because of who I am that I'm here. You know what we're going to say? It's because of who Jesus is that I'm here. It's because I am clothed in His righteousness. I'm painted, if you will, with His righteousness that I can go to heaven. So today, as you relax and as I pack, I hope you thank God for God's grace. And I hope that you thank God as a child of God that you are declared righteous because of what Jesus did for us. I mean, that ought to give you the warm fuzzies. Really, the warm fuzzies. But if you're here today and you've never, ever trusted Jesus as your Savior, you know what? You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing by not trusting Jesus as your Savior. Best decision I ever made, was to trust Jesus as my Savior. I imagine that if you ask folks here in the church, what do you think the best decision you ever made? They would say, at least most would say, hopefully all would say, my best decision I ever made was to trust Jesus. So today, if you're not sure whether you're saved or you're there and you say, I know I'm not saved, I plead today that as we sing, you'll come forward and say, you know what, I want to trust Jesus. I want to experience His grace. I want to experience being called righteous. I want to experience His righteousness. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know why I'm here. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. You know, we Christians, we ought not hide what we have. We ought to be going out to a lost world and not be so hesitant about it. We ought to be saying, you know what? I want you to have the same peace and joy and happiness and purpose and future and all those things that I have. And I hope today that if you're here without Jesus, you'll want those things too. You can have them. You can have them because of Jesus. If you want to be saved here in a little bit, you come forward. Christian, if God is speaking to your heart and you're saying, I'm overflowing. My heart is overflowing because of God's grace and God's righteousness imputed to me. You know what? I'm going to come to the altar and I'm going to thank God. I can't help it. Well, have at it. The altar is open. You may say, I got someone to pray for today. I'm praying for this one or that one or this situation. I'm praying for a lost soul. If you want to come to the altar, have at it. The altar is open. If you're here without Jesus, I'll be somewhere down front. You come down and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Would you do that? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this story. Lord, there are a bunch of really, really interesting things in this story. I mean, fun things, amazing facts and details, and we praise you for that. We're supposed to study those and know those, absolutely. But Lord, it goes even beyond that. We thank you, Lord, for the similarities we see between Noah's Ark and the story. As Scripture points out, there are similarities. There's a picture there of Christ. And Lord, we thank you today that Noah was delivered because of your grace. We thank you that we as Christians are delivered because of your grace. We thank you, Lord, that Noah was declared righteous, Lord, and we thank you that we are declared righteous because of your righteousness. Lord, just speak to hearts. I pray that you'll help anyone whose heart you're speaking to move and respond to the invitation. We pray in Jesus' name.